As it happened, Uthane's prediction was accurate. They had to make their own way until they saw the blurred, indistinct shapes of other vessels riding at anchor, and dropped their own anchor. In fact, they'd passed close enough aboard one of the other ships to draw an irate shout of warning from its anchor watch.
"Oh, hold your noise," Uthane had bellowed back through his speaking trumpet. "This is an Emperor ship on church business. Besides, if I'd wanted to sink your sorry arse, you silly bastard, I'd have hit you square amidships, not passed across your misbegotten bow."
The noise from the other vessel had ended abruptly, and Uthane had winked at Corus.
"Truth to tell, my lord," he'd admitted in a much lower voice, "I never even saw them until the last moment. I think I'm as surprised as they are that I didn't cut their cable. Not that I'd ever admit it to them, even under torture."
"Your secret's safe with me, Captain," Corus had assured him, then gone below to be certain Sea Blanket had everything packed up to go ashore.
"I've checked and double-checked, my lord," the habitually gloomy-faced valet had said to him. "Still and all, I don't doubt I've forgotten something, or misplaced it, or that one of Captain Uthane's sticky-fingered sailors has relieved us of it when I wasn't looking."
"I promise I won't hold you responsible for someone else's pilferage, Robert," Corus had assured him.
If the promise had done anything to lighten Sea Blanket's gloom, Corus hadn't noticed it. On the other hand, his valet knew their itinerary as well as he did, and he rather doubted Sea Blanket was any more eager than he was for the final stage of the journey. Now, as the Earl sat on the midship's thwart of the 10-oared launch which had, eventually, turned up to ferry him ashore, he found his own thoughts dwelling on the prospect of the journey in question. He was by nature a less gloomy fellow than Sea Blanket, but at the moment, he'd discovered his mood was very much in tune with the valet's. The one good thing about the weather was that there was very little wind, yet that didn't keep an open boat from feeling like Shan Wei's own ice house, and he felt confident the bitter cold he was feeling at the moment was only a mild foreshadowing of what it was going to be like when they reached Lake Pei.
"Or, for that matter, how cold it's going to be between here and Lake Pei," he told himself sourly. "Langhorn, I hope I really do get at least 2 nights in a row under a roof in a warm bed that isn't simultaneously pitching and rolling under me."
"Easy all," the launch's coxswain called. "In oars, and bear off forward there, Andy."